You see, this is why we can't have nice things. We can't have nice things because one of the two political parties is crazy in this country. Yes, they both suck, but one of them is out of their frickin' mind. And anyway. Oh, I got 3 hours to talk about it. Hey, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome, truth seekers. I am your friendly citizen investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, Brad Friedman, sitting in for Mike tonight. He's a little bit under the weather. He'll be back with you hopefully tomorrow. I hope tomorrow, because I can't sit in tomorrow. So Mike needs to get better for tomorrow. Send him your best wishes. He's under the weather. Of course, with this early summer we now have, with this heat wave we now have in the middle of winter, no wonder he's sick. No wonder his allergies are kicking in. So hopefully he'll be back tomorrow, because I can't be here tomorrow because I'm broadcasting, I should say, from KTalk AM 1150 in Los Angeles. Beautiful downtown Los Angeles. No, downtown Burbank. That's where we are. Thanks for the reminder. We're in Burbank. We can't come back tomorrow, though, because we're broadcasting from Stephanie Miller's studio. And she's oh, look, they're already up there, aren't they? Okay. See, now I really got Big Brother watching. You got lights in the studio, lights and everything, huh? Wow. All right. Well, so we're in Stephanie's studio. And folks who listen to Stephanie know that she's going to be going on the TVs soon, on Current TV. They're going to be broadcasting her show live in the morning. So they're coming in tomorrow and they're adding in all of the lights and the cameras. And there's already a few here. When do they start that, Tone? Do you know? You don't know. Soon? All right. They start soon. So we can't use the studio tomorrow. So get better, Mike. Quick. We need you back. We need you on the airwaves, because you ain't going to have me. But you do have me for the next 3 hours, broadcasting live at the last minute. Delighted to be here from Burbank. And let me also get this out of the way early on. I want to say one good thing about the Republican Party, because for the next 3 hours, that's probably not going to happen. So let me just say this here and now, Republican Party, that whole daylight savings time thing. Way to go. Thank you. I love the daylight. I love the extra daylight savings time. This is the one. Tony's looking at me like, what are you talking about? This is the one thing. The only thing that I can think of, the only federal legislation by the modern day Republican Party that I think is great. And maybe other people don't, but I think it's great. We got daylight saving time starts 2 weeks earlier. And it ends 2 weeks later. I love that. So thank you, Republican Party. You've come up with something in the last decade that is good, as far as I'm concerned. All right, well, now we've gotten that out of the way, and we can move on to the fact that the Republican Party is not only crazy, not only out of their mind, but apparently they have now decided, the hell with it, we're just waging war on everything. That's what we're talking about tonight. GOP war on everything, war on everybody, war on their fellow Americans, war on people who aren't Americans. Man, are they crazy? You know, it's like what they're doing here. It's almost as if they don't want to win the election this November. This war on women is insane. And it's like they don't want to win. It's like they think they don't care if they win. Either that, or they have a plan. Either that, or they may know that, well, if we turn enough people away from the voting booth, we'll be fine. Oh, if we control those electronic voting machines, we'll be fine. Nobody will notice. Nobody will care. Nobody will question it. Everybody will think it's normal. Dennis Kucinich loses to Marcy Kaptur in Lucas County, Ohio last Tuesday by 94% to 4. Now, he either lost 94 to 4 or he didn't. We have no way of knowing. Why? Because in Lucas County, Ohio, they still use 100% unverifiable touchscreens that nobody bothers to even try to verify. Not that they could. So he loses by Saddam Hussein numbers, 94% to 4, and nobody bats an eye. What message does this send to the American people? What message does this send to the media? What message does this send to Republicans who say, you know what? Let's wage war on women. Let's wage war on an incredibly unpopular issue like contraceptives that everybody thinks we're crazy. Republicans think we're crazy to do this. Republican voters think we're crazy, but let's do it anyway. Maybe they're just not all that worried about losing the election this November. Why not? The results can be anything that they want them to be. You know, did you watch CNN? What was it? Last couple of elections on Super Tuesday, and then again last Tuesday in Mississippi and Alabama. They had what they called a ballot cam, and they had people who were actually in the counting room, which is kind of nice. I'm glad that they were, you know, gave a damn to look at their ballots being counted. But what did they show? They say, oh, here's the guy. Here's the top technology. This is where it all happens. And they showed one guy sitting in front of a bunch of computers waiting for the numbers. They were feeding in memory cartridges. Any number in the world could have come out. There was one guy in there. That one guy. That's the guy. You want to win an election? You want to buy an election? Find out who that guy is who sits in front of the computers and gets those numbers off those memory cards from that voting machine. That's all you need. One guy. This isn't a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy theory because it only takes one guy to flip an entire election. And we all got to see it on CNN. And everybody's been making fun of them ever since because it's really so pathetic. There really is nothing to see when you're counting ballots anymore. It's all done electronically. These are all corporations that, that count our votes on their little memory cards. And, of course, everybody knows that computers work perfectly. It's not like you get a new patch every single day from Microsoft if you run Windows. Computers work fine. What could possibly go wrong? So the GOP has a war on everything. Oh, by the way, we've got a chat room, so you can join the war at bradblog.com. We've got our chat room open. Everybody is filing in. It's always a lively bunch there. Come on by. Dez is moderating. She's going to join us a little bit later in the show for some green news. Margot Paez is in there. I think Sue is For Earth, and there she is. Yeah, For Earth is in there as well. So stop by the chat room, bradblog.com. We'd love to see you there. You can also take down our phone number. We're going to get to your calls tonight, hopefully plenty of them, 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Don't call the Malloys. Mike needs some sleep. You can also Twitter me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. So I'll do my best to keep my eye on both the chat room and the Twitters. And I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff to share with you today. And joining us, by the way, later in the show, Tim Thompson, the U.S. Marine. You might have seen him. If you haven't, check out. We've got the full video at bradblog.com. Rachel Maddow also picked it up and ran this story. Tim Thompson went to the polling place on Super Tuesday in Tennessee, where they've instituted their polling place photo ID restrictions. And for the first time, first election, they rolled out these restrictions on voters. And Tim Thompson, who's a 55-year-old former Marine, said, well, the hell with that. I'm going to bring in my voter registration card that was good enough for me, that was good enough for my father, my grandfather. And if they won't let me vote on that, then I'm not voting. And there was some media who were trailing along with him to essentially film this protest. As he was told, a U.S. Marine, sorry, you can't vote. No normal ballot for you. We'll give you a provisional ballot. Maybe it'll be counted. Maybe it won't. Who knows? So Tim Thompson is going to be joining us a little bit later in the show with some good news, some news you haven't heard about, some encouraging news. I've also got more encouraging news in this GOP war on voting. So as I say, it's the GOP war on everything, war on women. This is amazing. This Arizona bill. Have you seen this? HB 2625. This will change the state's contraceptive equity law so that any employer can choose not to cover contraception if they reject to it on religious grounds. But it's worse than that. It also includes a measure that makes it even more provocative, giving more fodder to the press. It would require women who need hormonal contraception for medical reasons to prove that they are not using birth control to prevent pregnancy. So that they have to divulge their private medical history to their employer to prove why they need birth control. Republicans are cool with this. For some reason, they have no fear at all. They are not worried about it at all. They can anger America all they want, and they don't care. Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us. Comes. Yeah, 19th nervous breakdown. There, listen, the Republican Party, since the death of Andrew Breitbart, from Andrew Breitbart's death through Rush Limbaugh's insane 3 hours of ranting against the sex life of a private U.S. citizen, incorrectly by the way, making stuff up along the way. This party is in the middle of a complete meltdown. The right is having a nervous breakdown. They don't know what they're doing. Their candidates all stink. And I'll stay on record, by the way, on this. I've been talking about a brokered convention for months. If you've been listening to me when I sit in on the Molloy Show or following me on the Twitters at the Brad Blog, I've been saying, A, there's going to be a brokered convention. And I used to say this, people say, hey, you're crazy. It's never going to happen. Mitt Romney is inevitable. All the people on CNN told me so. No, it's going to be a brokered convention because they don't like any of their candidates. And furthermore, I've gone out on a limb to say I think there's a very good possibility, I've been saying this for months as well, that none of the four top yutzes currently running for the nomination are going to end up being the nominee. I think now is a really good time for the Republicans to start sweet-talking Chris Christie again. I'm just saying, I don't want to give him any advice, but that's my advice. And I think, you watch what happens over as this slow-motion nervous breakdown continues over the next few months until we get to Tampa. Oh, it's not going to get pretty. But because of that, because they're going crazy, we all have to pay the price. Because they're going crazy, it was 84 degrees yesterday. I haven't looked today, but it was 84 degrees yesterday in St. Louis. I was on the air. I do a show out here on the Pacifica radio affiliate. And at 5:40 p.m. St. Louis time, and I say St. Louis because that's my old hometown. So I was checking the weather just to see. It was 84 degrees at 5:40 p.m. in March. March, which is like the snowiest month in St. Louis, Missouri, it was 84 degrees. But nothing's wrong. There's nothing to be worried about. Rick Santorum told us. He laughed at the idea. Carbon dioxide is dangerous for you? Ha ha! Tell it to a plant. How ridiculous. So, Rick Santorum, water. Water's also dangerous. What? Is not dangerous? Human beings need it to survive? Oh, okay, fine. Why don't you go out and drink 5 gallons of it and get back to me, Rick Santorum? Let me know how safe your water is. It could be bottled water, too. No chemicals. No, very good, clean water. Just go drink 5 gallons of it in an hour. Let me know how that works out. Okay. I was on RT this week. Speaking of wing nuts, I was on the RT TV this week. I'll try to play some clips for you in the next half hour. I think we've got those racked up somewhere. I was on with one of these right-wing loons, this guy by the name of Seton Motley, who I'm told, I had never heard of him before, but I'm told that he shows up every now and again with Tom Hartman. He's a loon. It was about photo ID restrictions, and I had assumed they would go with a regular, a serious loon. Like John Fund or Hans von Spakovsky, you know, these guys who are, you know, huge liars, but at least they know what they're lying about. This guy, almost had to bleep myself. This guy, he was telling me that the reason we have to have photo ID is because there's so much voter fraud committed at the polling place by Democrats that proof of that is back in 2006, Donald Duck actually voted in the state of Ohio. That's what this knucklehead believes. That's why he wants to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of legal American voters. Because he believes the madness that he sees on Fox News. He believes that Donald Duck actually voted in Ohio. Along with Mickey Mouse and Mary Poppins. Either he believes that stuff, or he knows it's a lie, and he doesn't care. He's taking up his arms in the GOP war on voting to keep you from voting, to turn back the clock like this was 1950s all over again. Brad in from Molloy. Stay with us.
Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind.
Yeah. And trouble ahead and trouble behind. Smartly done, Tony. Welcome back. This is your Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow sitting in for Mike tonight. For the next few hours, glad you could join us here. And we've got some callers on the line, so I want to get to some of these calls. But I will also play, I was on, like I said, I was on RT this week, which used to be called Russia Today. It's their English channel, English language channel, Russian TV, that plays all across the U.S., all across the world. And they called me in, hey, Brad, we want to talk about photo ID restrictions at the polling place, voting rights. And I thought, oh, okay, that sounds great. It's a panel discussion. Oh, really? Yeah, and when I got hooked up there and the earpiece in my ear, they said, oh, you're going to be on with Seton Motley. Do you know who he is? I said, no, I don't. They said, he's a fiery guy. I said, okay, good. I'll fire back. So we had a lively show as this clown instructed me that Donald Duck was voting in Ohio in 2006, and that's why we need to restrict hundreds of thousands of voters from voting this year. I'll play some clips of that in a second, but one of my favorite Republicans, I think he used to be a Republican, one of my favorite Republicans, the only guy in Wisconsin who's a Republican who doesn't stink, joins us for a quick call here with some news. John Washburn calls in. He's a great election integrity advocate up there in Wisconsin, and I mean it, a great election integrity advocate. He was very helpful through the Supreme Court disaster up there in Wisconsin last year when Kathy Nicholas suddenly found 14,000 ballots out of nowhere. He explained, well, he did his best to explain what was going on. He joins us now with some news out of Wisconsin. Hey, John, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. And what's up, brother?
Well, I suppose I should be worried that Pedro has gotten two votes twice in the last two elections here in District 1 of Germantown.
Wait, who's Pedro?
Vote for Pedro, and all your dreams will come true.
Oh, vote for Pedro. Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those, as part of my auditing, you know, my village of Germantown that I live in here.
And so people actually do vote for Pedro, do they?
Right in Pedro.
Wow.
Kind of funny to see, you know, Pedro on the presidential line in the last few elections.
Well, you know what? The Republicans are pretty desperate this year. Pedro might be a good idea. Maybe somebody's got to get Pedro down to Tampa this year.
He might. I do have one small bit of Kathy Nicholas news.
Oh, okay. And we should also say, by the way, John, you have actually, for people who don't know, Kathy Nicholas was this registrar of voters up there in Waukesha County who, you know, forgot to report some 14,000 votes last year in the Supreme Court race. And when she found them, suddenly they flipped the results from the independent candidate to the Republican candidate, thus keeping a Republican majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And John, you have actually spoken for her at public meetings when she couldn't make it. All right. Well, I just want to let everybody know who you are. Okay. So your bit of news about Kathy Nicholas, and then the other larger news I think you may have for us.
Yeah, it's much. A local activist here in Waukesha County said, you know, she was ordered to implement changes so that Brookfield will never happen again. Apparently, no newspaper was interested in actually going to check to see if that was being done. So she said, no, I'd like to, and can you come along? So I did.
Wait, and, to see if what was done?
Kathy Nicholas was ordered by our state's highest election officials, the Government Accountability Board, and essentially the judge in the one Kloppenburg case, to implement certain changes.
Right.
Make sure that the Brookfield debacle would never happen again.
And so you went along with her to make sure that they had, in fact, that she had made these changes?
Well, one of our local activists in Waukesha wanted to do that. And she just, you know, it's the first time she's ever done that. So she wanted a little, I was there mostly for moral support.
Okay.
And I really couldn't talk to Ms. Nicholas because of the lawsuit I have against her. So
you have a lawsuit against Kathy Nicholas?
Yes, it's for some open records. Memory cards, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
From the village of Butler. But
all right, go ahead, because you got a bad phone, so I want to get through your call real quick
John. Let me move away. So she, she implemented these changes, and they are wonderful. They posted results for every municipality in a separate room as they come in, and the ballot bags are clear and oversized, so you can check to see what's in them without actually opening them. And they got a full seal across the top, and if you try to open it up, it's the blue part of the seal says void in white, and the clear part of the seal says void in blue. It's really a very, very good improvement.
So you're impressed with this. Now, we should say hundreds of thousands of, tens of thousands, anyway, of ballots were ripped open from these ballot bags the last time in this recount. Okay. So she's put better bags in place. Of course, you would say that, John, because you're a shill for Kathy Nicholas.
I'm suing her over getting election.
Yeah, except for the lawsuit against her. Okay, what's your other quick news, John? I got a lot I got to get to here.
The quick news is that the recall dates for Governor Walker, Lieutenant Governor Clay Fish, and four other state senators have been finalized as much as it can be to be May 8th and June 5th. And technically it's not finalized, but if the GAB doesn't finalize it on their meeting on the 30th, they're in trouble with the courts. So it's as good as a done deal.
May 8th is the primary, and June 5th, you think, is going to be the actual election to recall Scott Walker.
Yeah, if more than one person runs, then there's a primary. If only two people go, then there's a general on that May 8th date.
Okay. June 5th, by the way, also the day of the California primary out here. So
that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that's going to be a nightmare day for me. Okay, thanks, John. I appreciate that update. And are you going to be voting to recall Scott Walker?
I haven't decided yet.
Okay, very interesting. Let us know how that goes. Probably. Good for you. All right, brother. Thanks for the call. Always good to talk to my friend. And he really is a great election integrity advocate. I don't care what party he is. He wants to know who actually won an election, who lost an election, and he wants to be able to see those ballots being counted. And as you heard, he is currently suing Kathy Nicholas because she won't respond appropriately, I guess, to a public records request. He's an award-winning public records requester. Did you know you could win awards for that? Okay, let me play some of these clips. Going from a not insane Republican to an insane Republican. And obviously I'm going to need a much longer show if I'm going to go through all the insane Republicans. But here was me last night or a couple of nights ago on the RT. Host was Liz Wall. The subject was polling place photo ID restrictions, the Republican war on voting. She asks me what's wrong with that, and I respond. And then this other guy, Seton Motley, who is apparently the head of some outfit called Less Government. Now, apparently, he runs a group called Less Government, but he's in favor of more government because he wants to spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on this photo ID nonsense. Needless nonsense. Because he doesn't want Democrats to vote. But here, let's play a couple of quick clips here. Me and Seton Motley this week on Russian TV, on RT.
What is the problem with requiring people to show photo IDs at the polls?
Well, the problem is that there are millions of Americans who simply do not have them, and it's not equally spread among all voters. In fact, minorities, elderly students, and so forth are far more likely to not have the type of photo ID, state-issued photo ID, that's required by these new laws. These new laws have been put in place, by the way, in order to keep people from voting, keep legal voters from casting their legal vote, despite a dearth of problems with voter fraud at the polling place. That's the only type of voter fraud that can be stopped by these polling place photo ID restrictions. So you're talking about keeping potentially tens, if not hundreds of thousands of legal voters who have been able to vote without a problem for decades from being able to cast their legal vote under these restrictive new laws passed by Republicans.
See, and what do you make of that argument that this new law will exclude thousands of voters here in the U.S.?
Oh, well, the tens of thousands number is completely made up. What we've seen time and time and time again, and the Acorn scandal was just the tip of the iceberg that broke this down, that broke this in, is the combination of casting a provisional ballot at the polling place when you don't have a photo ID or you can't prove you live somewhere, and then matching that up with the fraudulent registrations that Acorn registered and other groups have registered in the tens and hundreds of thousands. So that's the kind of voter ID fraud that actually transpires in large numbers, and that's the kind of voter fraud that a photo ID requirement largely eliminates, and that's what they've been fighting. Because as we know, Acorn was a Democrat operation, registering people that helped illegally elect Democrats. So that's the partisan battle we're fighting at this point.
This guy is such a yutz. Okay, where do you start with jackasses like this? First off, Acorn was a Democrat operation. First, it's called the Democratic Party. Get that through your head, Seton Motley. Secondly, they're a nonpartisan organization. Yes, they did tend to side more with Democrats, but they also attacked them all the time. Thirdly, there is not a single vote that was ever cast illegally based on an improper Acorn registration. I should say an improper registration by an Acorn worker, not by Acorn, because Acorn was themselves the ones who found these workers who were defrauding them and turned them into officials. So for Seton Motley then to go on and say that tens of thousands of illegal voters have been illegally electing Democrats, he's just making stuff up. And he thinks you're dumb enough to believe it. And if you watch Fox News, you probably are dumb enough to believe it. Because, let me play you a little bit more here. Do you have this, where's this Donald Duck clip? Just to get you an idea. Clip four here, Tony. I think this speaks for itself. Me and Seton Motley on RT earlier this week.
So how many thousands of voters are you okay with disenfranchising,
Seton? I'm okay with disenfranchising the Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Dick Tracy that Acorn registered. Yeah, I'm just fine with disenfranchising them.
Have Dick Tracy or Donald Duck ever voted in any election?
Ohio.
Mayor Seaton?
Ohio in 2006.
They
yes.
have, really?
Yes.
Donald.
When did Donald Duck vote in Ohio?
It was Dick Tracy, Mary Poppins, and I'm trying to remember the names now. It was Dick Tracy, Mary Poppins,
yeah,
and my favorite of all time,
Mickey Mouse.
Jive Turkey. Mickey Mouse was in Florida.
Ever
was in Orlando.
Voted.
All right.
Yes,
Seton was making things up, and he was doing it on live TV across the universe. And what's particularly maddening about this is the reason he was able to do this is because our corporate mainstream media has been allowing this crap, not just allowing this crap, but has been pushing this crap over and over and over across the airwaves as if it was related in any way to reality. And they've been doing this for years. So he's talking about Donald Duck in 2006, who never voted anywhere. But back in 2006, Donald Duck voted because I saw it on CNN, because CNN stinks. And they're telling people this crap. And, the media continue to allow these lies so that 6 years later, we can get to the point where state after state, Republicans are passing anti-voter bills, voter disenfranchisement bills, trying to keep the elderly, trying to keep the students, trying to keep the minorities from voting. And no, these are not made up numbers. As the Department of Justice found this week, the state of Texas, which has implemented one of these disenfranchising photo ID laws, or at least has tried to, the state of Texas was told by the DOJ, nope, you can't do it. Why? Because under the Voting Rights Act, that law discriminates against Americans, specifically based on Texas's own numbers. These are numbers that were given to the DOJ by the state of Texas. The DOJ found that legally registered Hispanic voters are anywhere from 46% to 120% more likely than non-Hispanic voters to lack state-issued ID needed to vote under the new law. Hispanic voters are anywhere from 46 to 120% more likely to not be able to vote in 2012. That ain't an accident. That's why that law is in place, and that's why the DOJ has stopped it. Brad, in for Malloy.
Ground control to Major Tom.
I'm a having a nervous breakdown. A mental shakedown. I see my hands on the shiver.
Welcome back to Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike tonight. And coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined by Tim Thompson, U.S. Marine, who was turned away from the polling place 2 weeks ago in Tennessee on Super Tuesday, the first implementation of the photo ID law. But he's got some good news about what happened. So they turned away a U.S. Marine because he refused to show his photo ID. Let me play a clip of that, Tone. You got that clip number? Where am I here? Because I want to get straight to him after the top of the hour. Seven. You got clip number seven there. Here's Tim Thompson trying to vote on or trying to object to this new law in Tennessee on Super Tuesday.
This is my voter registration card.
Yes, sir.
I've used this for 37 years. This was good enough for my father. It was good enough for my grandfather, and I refuse to show you a picture ID.
That's fine. Would you like to vote provisional ballot?
No, I do not. You don't get me right. I object to the law. I'm objecting to the law that they implemented on my right to vote. I'm a former U.S. Marine.
Yes, sir.
And you have no right to restrict me from voting today. The law has no right. I served my country. I served my country so you could vote. I've earned my right to vote. This is my ID. This is my ID. And I'll be damned if I stand here and allow you to not let me vote because some governor of this state decided he wanted to eliminate my right to vote and put conditions on it that I fought for.
Yeah, you go, Tim. He's going to be joining us in the next hour with some good news. actually out of Tennessee this week in the wake of his protest 2 weeks ago when he refused. Voter registration card was good enough for years, and now all of a sudden he's an illegal voter. Go figure. All right, let me take some quick calls here because I'm coming up to the top of the hour. excuse me, Angus in Minnesota. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Why, thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Angus. What's up?
I love what you guys are doing. Open this up to public debate and to new thoughts, new ways of thinking about stuff.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this voter ID thing,
yeah,
we should, it's like an attack, yes?
It's an attack on voters, yes, hundreds of thousands of voters, correct.
Allow me, if I may, I'm a non-vet, I studied karate. Judo is the answer. It is actually a great opportunity.
Yeah.
If we say, okay, we will take your hysteria and implement it. But that means every individual who resides in the United States has to be checked out and given a voter ID. That would be such a job-creating bill.
Well, Angus, first off...
how many people that would take to do that?
Well, Angus...
And that's it. You're good to go.
All right, listen.
Forever.
All right, Angus, first off, I'm not sure what judo has to do with it, so maybe I missed that. I see. Okay. Yes. So a job-creating bill to get everyone a photo ID. And listen,
everyone.
I have no problem
and
with
you know
what?
The post office should be entrusted to accomplish that.
Yeah. Well,
because they go every day to every home in America.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
I hear you, Angus. I got to get to a break. I appreciate your thought. I have no problem with photo ID at the polling place. If everyone has one. But the fact is, some 25 million legal American voters do not have the type of state-issued photo ID that is required under these bills. Republicans know it, and they know that it's the elderly, the minorities, and the students who don't have them and who are going to be disproportionately disenfranchised come this November. They also know that's just about their only chance of winning this November, and that's why they're doing it. If you're on the line, stay there. I'm going to try to get to your calls. Tim Thompson's going to be joining us next, a Marine hero. You are listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us. Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, your very friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, broadcasting live from the left coast here tonight from beautiful downtown Burbank as Mike Malloy is getting over some allergies or something. Who can blame them? It's 100 degrees out in Georgia right now in the middle of winter. It really is. Stop by our chat room at bradblog.com. We'd love to see you over there. I was just saying, Matt in St. Louis, my own hometown, says that Occupy the Midwest starts in St. Louis this weekend. 18 different cities converge for convention. You go, St. Louis. You go, Occupy. Going to be joined momentarily by Tim Thompson, the U.S. Marine, who was a conscientious objector of another sort last week in Super Tuesday down in Tennessee. And then we're going to be joined by Desi Doyen a little bit later for some green news. It is tonight the GOP war on everything. And so, let me take, I got some folks I promised I would get to you on the phone. We got a lot of folks on the line, but I want to take one quick call, and then we'll go right to Tim Thompson. So, Bartholomew in North Carolina. Hey, can I call you Bart?
Sure. I suppose that'd be faster.
Hey, Bart. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, brother?
Not too much. Thanks for being a good troublemaker there, Mr. Friedman.
It's the least I can do.
So I was watching you on TV when you're on a panel show with Fugelsang and then a comedian and some hot conservative chick.
Yes, I was on The Point, the Young Turks show on the intertubes called The Point a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah. When you were there, you mentioned that you thought early voting was a bad idea, and you didn't get to elaborate on it.
Yeah.
Could you do that now for me?
I would be happy to. Good question, Bart. Early voting is a bad idea. The political parties love it. The Democrats, particularly, they love it because they can make sure that their voters show up at the polls. So I understand from a political point of view why the Democrats like it and why the Republicans like it. It's the same reason they like vote by mail, by the way, which is also a terrible idea. Among the reasons, and I won't take a lot of time here on this, but among the reasons, generally when you do early voting, you've got to use some form of touchscreen voting to do it, or otherwise electronic voting. It is impossible to oversee your own votes being counted. With vote by mail, for example, you get a paper ballot, but you drop it into the post office box, which is the ultimate black box voting. Good luck that ever showing up or being counted. Early voting, again, the same thing. They have these super precincts set up. Your vote may or may not be counted. The safest way to vote is on election day at the polling place on a piece of paper. Now, if you can't do that, then, you know, you can go ahead and do absentee voting if you must. But find out if you can bring your ballot into the polling place on election day, your absentee ballot. But that is generally why. Does that, without going into great detail, Bart, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. I think I'm safe here in North Carolina because we're using the optical scanners to count. There is still a paper trail. I still am actually filling out a piece of paper.
Well, but do it on election day because between early voting and election day, anything can happen. Okay?
True. Very true. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Bart. I appreciate the call. All right, let me get to Tim Thompson. If you're hanging on the line, try to hang in there or call us back. We'll try to get to as many callers as we can because these are your public airwaves. Where's my paperwork? I should plan for these shows in advance. Okay, here I am. Great. Tim Thompson. Well, let's play this clip again just to give you an idea. Tim Thompson is a 55-year-old former U.S. Marine Lance Corporal from Nashville, Tennessee. He made a bit of news last week, and he's my latest new hero. You might have seen the story. Rachel Maddow picked it up. It was on RT, as a matter of fact, when I appeared there last week. He decided that this photo ID restriction put in place by Republicans to keep Democratic-leaning voters from being able to cast their vote. He thought that was outrageous, and the first implementation was last Tuesday on Super Tuesday. And so he decided he was not going to allow that to happen. He was going to speak up. Here was Tim Thompson. We're going to have him live in a second with some good news, too. But here was Tim at the polling place, I think it's number seven, at the polling place last Tuesday.
This is my voter registration card?
Yes, sir.
I've used this for 37 years. This was good enough for my father. It was good enough for my grandfather. And I refuse to show you a picture ID.
That's fine. Would you like to vote provisional ballot?
No, I do not. You don't get me right. I object to the law. I'm objecting to the law that they implemented on my right to vote. I'm a former U.S. Marine.
Yes, sir.
And you have no right to restrict me from voting today. The law has no right. I served my country. I served my country so you could vote. I've earned my right to vote. This is my ID. This is my ID. And I'll be damned if I'll stand here and allow you to not let me vote because some governor of this state decided he wanted to eliminate my right to vote and put conditions on it that I fought for.
And there you go. That was Tim Thompson standing up for his right to vote, for your right to vote, for all of our rights to vote, whatever party you may be. And Tim Thompson actually testified this week in a subcommittee in the Nashville legislature in Tennessee. So we'll have a little bit of interesting and good news momentarily on that. But first, let's bring in Tim Thompson live. There we go. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Brad? How you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Listen, brother, I have been looking at you for the last week, looking at video of you, and we'll have some more video of you, by the way, I hope tomorrow at the Brad Blog. First off, thank you for standing up and doing what you did last Tuesday.
You're welcome, and everybody in America is welcome. I do have an ID, and I could have shown it if I wanted to, but I didn't do it for me. I did it for everybody that doesn't have an ID or not able to get that ID.
What inspired you to do this, Tim Thompson? Why did you suddenly decide, you're going to cause hell on Super Tuesday?
Well, Brad, that's what Marines do when they're pissed off. They cause hell. They make a statement. And when I heard about the 88-year-old woman that couldn't get a birth certificate and couldn't vote, but she voted all her life, but under this law, she's not allowed to vote. It just doesn't seem American. And that's what Americans are not about. That's what I fought against, totally.
And there were some folks, specifically, I've got Dorothy Cooper, 96 years old, down in Tennessee. Yeah. This has been happening all over the country, by the way, where these laws are passed. But Dorothy Cooper, 96 years old, she actually had a birth certificate, but she didn't have a driver's license. She brought all her materials in. She's an African-American woman. She's been voting in the South, even through the Jim Crow era, without a problem. She had a birth certificate, but you see, she got married since she was born, so her name changed. And her name no longer matches her birth certificate, but she couldn't find an original copy of her marriage license, and she was told she can't have one of these so-called free IDs. Were these the sort of people who inspired you, and do you think this protest last week will have any effect here?
Well, I think it did. We got the House State Local Subcommittee to repeal the law in the subcommittee yesterday after my testimony.
And I want to be clear about that. The law is not actually repealed, but they voted, and this is the good news. After your testimony yesterday, how many people did you testify to? There was
nine. And the
nine
vote
on the...
There was two Republicans that voted for the repeal on mm-hmm. that board. So it mattered 5-3. One Republican was absent, so we got kind of lucky there.
Because I think there's on this committee, there's a subcommittee in the Nashville legislature. I think it's five Republicans and three Democrats and one yeah. independent. And you were able to convince somehow, well, all three Democrats went with you, but you also were able to flip the independent and the Republican to vote in favor of repealing Tennessee's photo ID restriction.
Yes, I did. Yes, we're pretty pumped up here right now, down here, and but it's the war on this is not over by a long shot. Next is the full state and local government committee, and then after that we go against the full House. But we're not giving up the fight, not by a long shot.
And what did you, Tim Thompson? What did you tell them in your testimony yesterday that you think might have helped make the case down there?
I probably pissed a couple of them off by saying this law is totally un-American. The Republicans took it kind of personal, but I don't know why, because I said the law, not them. And I reminded them of the over 4,000 lives that were lost in Iraq to bring democracy to that nation, so under freedom that we fought for over there, they could vote, and that the Marines and soldiers that stood post, so those people could vote. And I'm reminding them that in this state, in Tennessee, you've passed a law that actually puts conditions on our rights to vote. You know, it doesn't seem right that a great American like Pat Tillman went over in Iraq and gave up everything and paid that ultimate price so they could vote over there. But here, they want to put restrictions on our very right.
Rock and roll, Tim. You rock. Can you hang on a quick second? I got to take a quick break. I got a few more questions for you, though.
Sure, no problem.
All right. Thank you, brother. Tim Thompson, former U.S. Marine, who says, nope, I ain't going to take your restrictions when it comes to voting. Brad, in for Mike Malloy. More ahead. Stay with us. some kind of way out of yeah. here. We are standing along the watchtower tonight here on the Mike Malloy Show, guarding your democracy against those cretins, liars, and frauds who would take it down. And that's exactly what the Republican Party is trying to do. That's what they're doing because they know they can't win fair and square. So they got to cheat. They got to keep you from casting your vote. When it comes to election integrity, I am nonpartisan. I will fight for a Republican's vote, a Democrat's, an independent's. I don't care. I'll fight for a Republican candidate. I'm on record fighting for Tea Party Joe Miller up there in Alaska when he got screwed by the voting machines. But don't you mess with my vote. Don't you mess with anybody's vote. I cannot believe we are fighting this war again, 50 years after the Voting Rights Act. Fighting this war now with us is Tim Thompson, the 55-year-old former U.S. Marine from Nashville, Tennessee, who last week said, no, I'm not going to play along with this. And he refused to show his photo ID at the poll. So he was not allowed to cast a normal ballot, but he did go on to testify this week in the House in Nashville, where a subcommittee has voted now in favor of repealing that horrible photo ID, that polling place photo ID restriction. It now goes on to committee, and then it'll have to go on to the full House, so it's got long odds ahead of it. But the fight has to start somewhere, and in this case, Tim Thompson was joined the fight, and he joins us on the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, Tim, welcome back, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Brad?
All right. Now, listen, we got just a few more minutes here,
sure.
But you must be one of those left-wing, commie, hippie, dirty hippie activists who just wants to go out and cause trouble, right? Do you have a background as a political muckraker, Tim Thompson?
No, I do not. I stand up for this country and everything it stands for. But this law itself, as written, is so un-American. If anybody remembers June 6, 1944, when those guys went up on Normandy Beach, they died so we don't have laws like this. They died so people can't suppress our voice. That's what those crosses are sitting on that beach today for. Those are the real heroes.
And
yeah. So I'd like to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
Brad, if I may.
Sure.
The reality of it is, the reality of this whole situation, the right to vote is not a gift. It's not a gift that they can give you and take away. But it was given to us. It was earned with the lives of fellow Marines and Americans who died so we could live in freedom and vote as we want and when we and how we want.
Have you gotten a lot of blowback since this happened to about a week and a half ago now? Have you gotten blowback? Have you gotten hate mail or calls, people telling you that you're a commie sympathizer? What's happened since then in that regard?
First bad one was, what a jackass. Quit yelling at the poll worker. Go yell at the people who put this law in place. Well, I've done it. I went and yelled at them, and I told them. They didn't like what I had to say.
Who said this to you? Who said you're...
It was on one of those blogs. You know, uh-huh. I don't know who did it. I don't care who said it.
Yeah. So you're not intimidated by this. Are you going to continue with this fight and to try to overturn this law in Tennessee and in other states?
If somebody wants me to come to another state and speak for them, I'd be more than happy to them. That's what Marines do. And that's what Americans do. They back each other up. So we need to help each other in this cause. We need to help people get to wherever they need to get, give them the information, make this happen. And if this law it stays implemented, then we need to vote these people out of office. We just need to get up and help each other do it.
I got a lot of people, by the way, Tim, in the chat room, bradblog.com chat room, who are yelling and screaming and applauding. I even have somebody in the studio who's a Fox News fan. She's from Texas, and she's pumping her fists, mm-hmm. thanking you for what you're doing here, brother. So I really appreciate it. I got to take a break at the bottom of the hour. I suspect we'll talk again more in the future, Tim. But I just wanted to say, I think you're great. I think you're an American hero. I hope that more folks around the country take what you did as inspiration and figure out how to do something similar. We're going to have, hopefully tomorrow, some footage of you before, during, and after this protest from David Earnhardt, the documentary filmmaker, who I believe you may be related to.
He's my brother-in-law.
He's your brother-in-law. He's a filmmaker of Uncounted. You can check that out at uncountedthemovie.com. It's a great movie, award-winning. I'm in it, but it's still good. But thank you, brother. Thanks, Tim, for all you're doing.
Thanks for having me on.
Keep up the good fight, my friend. Semper Fi. All right, we'll be back with Desi Doyen on your Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
I got the feeling it's because Mike is sick. Right. No, it's not right.
I'm so scared in case I fall off
not
my chair.
Scared at all.
I'll get down the stairs.
Take the elevator, actually.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you once again. And there's no place I would rather be. In for Mike Malloy on your Mike Malloy Show. Mike will hopefully be back tomorrow. I can't be back because this studio, Stephanie's studio, is being used. They're outfitting it with TVs and stuff because Stephanie Miller starts her TV show on the current TVs, I think, soon.
They're outfitting it tomorrow?
They're outfitting it tomorrow. I don't know when she starts. But here's what you have to remind me, Des. Before we leave tonight, we need to put bradblog.com bumper stickers all over the studio.
Wallpaper
on
the studio.
Every wall.
Yeah.
Stop nodding at me, Tony. I'm going to do it. They'll never notice. They come in at 6 a.m. in the morning, man. They're sound asleep. They don't know what's going on. So, all right. Well, that was Desi Doyen. We're going to...
It is.
It still is. You're right.
We're still here.
I was going to say we're going to change gears, but not really. Because we're talking about the fact that we can't have nice things because Republicans have a war right now on everything. And their lies that... Look, we expect people to lie. We expect politicians to lie. Where we have been failed is by the corporate media, who has not called out the liars and has allowed this nonsense to propagate year after year after year, to the point where you get up to 2012 and they're saying, well, we got Donald Duck who's voting in Ohio, so we have to put in photo ID.
Is that what they sound like?
That is what they sound like. You go to Brad Block. Listen to the guy I was on the TVs with on RT. Go look at that video.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. We do have this anti-science, the war on science, well, the war on women, the war on voting, the war on democracy. I mean, they're just they love war.
It's war on everything. And so because of the lies, people can't vote. And because of the lies, it's 84 degrees yesterday in St. Louis, Missouri in the middle of March.
So you draw a direct line between those?
I do. I do because we can't look forward when we have a Republican Party who is fighting these wars, the wars they're fighting, the war on voting. Are you kidding? I thought that was over. I thought we won back in the Voting Rights Act of 1965. You know, the war on contraception, the pill. I mean, come on. We're 50 years past that, and now we have returned. So we're fighting these old wars. So the new wars that we need to be able to fight, the forward-looking wars, you know, the wars to get rid of fossil fuel so we can all breathe again and so it's not 84 degrees in March in St. Louis, we can't even have that discussion, which is why you're here.
Yes.
And so we're going to play the Green News Report, and then we'll come on and we'll talk about it afterwards. Desi is, of course, my love. She's a producer of this show, Whenever I'm In, and she's the co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, heard on fine progressive radio stations near you. And if they're not, then you got to come on by greennews.bradblog.com and listen to it.
Yes, and you can follow us on the Twitters at Green News Report.
All right, here's today's Green News Report with Desi and I, and then we have some additional stuff since this morning's report.
It's Thursday, March 15, 2012.
War with China?
We've got to take control of our energy future, and we can't let that energy industry take root in some other country because they were allowed to break the rules.
Trade war, that is.
What's happening to the climate fits the pattern that scientists have been telling us to expect.
March heat wave kills off spring, and summer arrives early in the U.S.
Just hold off until you know just what you're dealing with.
Keystone XL pipeline, more bad than good for the economy. Plus,
CO2 cannot cause global warming. I'll tell you why.
TV weatherman single-handedly overturns the laws of physics.
Lucky us. All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
An American president who believed in science and technology would drive the price of gasoline below $2.50, would eliminate our dependence on the Middle East, and we would never, ever again bow to a Saudi king.
Also, such a president would turn straw into gold, water into wine, and Newt Gingrich into the GOP presidential nominee. This is your Green News Report.
So you have my promise.
Okay, Des, well, as we get closer and closer to the election this year, the crazy gets crazier and crazier. This week, George W. Bush told a group of oil refiners that approving the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline would be, quote, a no-brainer.
Yeah, he ought to know.
Boy, that joke writes itself, don't it?
Yes, more on the Keystone XL pipeline in a moment. But first, TV weatherman Joe Bastardi of WeatherBell.com single-handedly overturned the laws of thermodynamics on Fox News Business Channel.
CO2 cannot cause global warming. I'll tell you why. It doesn't mix well with the atmosphere, for one. For two, its specific gravity is 1.5 times that of the rest of the atmosphere. It heats and cools much quicker. Its radiative processes are much different. So it literally cannot cause global warming.
So thousands of scientists are wrong, and Fox News' TV weatherman is right.
Oh, Joe, trying to be a physicist again. Let's just get this straight. Atmospheric CO2 is crucial to keeping the Earth warm enough to sustain life. It's the extra CO2 that humans are adding that's the problem. Actual physicists like Carrie Emanuel of MIT say Bastardi's claims are, quote, utter rubbish. Even climate skeptic physicist Richard Muller says Bastardi seems, quote, very confused. Meanwhile, the planet continues to ignore Fox News. Chicago hit a record 81 degrees on Wednesday. Mother Nature has bypassed spring and gone straight to summer for much of the U.S. It's a trend toward more extreme weather predicted by climate scientists.
More evidence of the wild swings in weather that we can expect in the future as people pump more greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. That means we're in for more extreme weather.
Kudos go to ABC Network News for telling the public the facts about the science of global warming leading to more extreme weather events. The unprecedented March heat wave has smashed all-time records across the Midwest. 400 new high temperature records were broken on Wednesday alone. A trade dispute with China could become a trade war, warning China to, quote, play by the rules. President Obama announced on Tuesday that the U.S., the European Union, and Japan have filed a formal trade dispute with the World Trade Organization, alleging that China is breaking trade rules by unfairly restricting its exports on rare earth elements, crucial components of electronics, batteries, clean energy technology, and weapons systems.
Now, if China would simply let the market work on its own, we'd have no objections, but their policies currently are preventing that from happening, and they go against the very rules that China agreed to follow.
China controls 90% of the world's supply of rare earths. The complaint accuses them of using export restrictions to raise prices for everyone but Chinese manufacturers. Hapless Senate Republicans, for the second time in a week, failed again to force through approval of the controversial proposed Keystone XL pipeline. This time, they added on a new drill everywhere amendment to open up even more public lands, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and almost the entire U.S. coastline to drilling. Meanwhile, an independent study from Cornell University concludes that the economic losses from oil spills along the proposed Keystone XL pipeline would far outweigh any economic benefits. That's because the heavy, corrosive type of oil that the pipeline would carry across the Midwest is the most difficult kind to clean up in the event of a spill. In fact, cleanup is ongoing from a tar sand spill on the Kalamazoo River 2 years ago.
The 40-mile span is still closed to this day. There's a no-contact order to this this day. If we try to put our hands in this river right now, you get in trouble.
That was Michigan resident Susan Connolly in an interview with the Natural Resources Defense Council warning other communities about the Keystone Pipeline.
I think people don't understand. When we talk about a tar sands pipeline, this is a heavy sludge that nobody really knows how to clean up when it spills, as we're seeing now in the Kalamazoo River 2 years later. What a mess. For more on all of our stories today and the ones we didn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please consider a donation to help sponsor the Green News Report. We ain't got fossil fuel sponsored super PACs. We've just got you. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
It's too hot, too hot, too hot, lady. Gotta cool this anger. What a mess we made.
Yeah. Mess we did make. Well done, Des.
Well, you like that song, didn't you?
I do like that. I'm grooving to that song. This Keystone Pipeline thing?
Yeah, the zombie Keystone Pipeline.
Is this
going to
keep going? Going to be going all year long at this point?
Yes.
And are they going to keep saying, how is it that they can keep saying these lies over and over again? Oh, the Keystone, our gas prices would be lower if it was for the Keystone. We'd have 20,000 jobs. How, in your opinion, I know my answer, but how, in your opinion, do they get away with telling the same lies over and over and over?
Because those lies are not responded to and countered with the facts that we know from all of these studies that have shown this, that if they're not countered every single time, then they do get out there. And, of course, there are other issues, which you think are...
I mean, I agree. It's the media. I mean, the idea that, it's fair and balanced because we have one guy telling the truth and the other guy telling a lie. Who knows what to believe? That's not fair and balanced. That's idiocy that's killing this planet.
There are actual provable, demonstrably provable facts when it comes to the Keystone Pipeline. Now, but there is some good news that came out of that. You know, they rejected the Keystone XL pipeline amendment on that transportation bill in the U.S. Senate, but they did approve another provision. It will direct 80% of the fines that BP is going to pay for the BP oil disaster in the Gulf 2 years ago.
Yes.
So 80% of those fines are going to go to a long-term Gulf restoration plan.
So that's the good news?
Yeah, that's good news from that. That's a big deal. They've been trying to get that for almost a decade, I think. And now they finally have somebody who's going to fund it because they messed it up.
All right.
So that helps. And also, just a few more things, things that we did not get a chance to get to. There's a major new study that you can look up online right now. It's for the first time it'll measure how many people in the U.S. are going to be affected by rising sea levels. The first time they decided to, instead of just saying, oh, look, the sea level is going to go up a certain amount, they're actually looking at how many people live in harm's way in the coastal United States. And that's at climatecentral.org. You can go in, type in your zip code or the zip code of your favorite coastal city and see what the inundation maps look like.
That's if you believe this oceans are rising.
Right. If you believe what the scientists say, who say that, the ocean sea level rise is actually accelerating this century, and they say that the estimates are by 2100, the middle estimate is 4 feet.
You and your scientists.
Which is a lot of airports, a lot of nuclear plants, a lot of infrastructure, a lot of people that are in the way
Do we have a whole country now? Do you remember the name of that country in the that's looking to relocate the entire country because the
That's the Pacific Island nation of Kiribati.
Kiribati.
And they're going to relocate to Fiji.
Because?
They're already losing their islands, and they don't have any. They think they probably have about 20 years left before everybody has to go. Before their island slips beneath the sea.
All right, finally here.
Finally.
This guy, the scientist who died 50 years ago now, we were told that aerosol spray is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And people who want to get rid of aerosol sprays want to kill the anti-capitalist.
Right. And Sherwood Rowland, he was a UC Irvine professor of chemistry. He did the calculations and realized, it looks like aerosols are actually depleting the ozone layer. And he then went forward and went public with his research. He spoke up and said, we need to do something about this. The ozone layer, for those who don't know, is what protects all life on Earth from dying from solar radiation. It's the protective blanket. It's like our sunscreen.
Yeah,
and so he won the Nobel Prize in 95 for it, and because he spoke up and fought for it, we actually achieved the first worldwide climate agreement, and it worked. And when they do the projections of what would have happened by 2065, the ozone would have been gone.
And at the time, the industry...
Oh, yeah, the industry.
...said that he was a communist, he was undermining capitalism...
And he was working for the KGB.
all stuff that we hear now from the fossil fuel industry, who says you want to kill capitalism because you don't want to allow the Keystone Pipeline. But by the way, this is because this did not get out enough on the Keystone Pipeline. Last week, the Democrats had an amendment to allow the Keystone Pipeline in the U.S. Senate.
On the condition
that the pipeline was built out of steel, U.S. steel, and that all the oil would go to the U.S.
And not to foreign markets.
Because right now it is all set to go to China. It won't lower gas prices. It'll raise gas prices in the U.S. That gas was not meant for us.
And what happened to that amendment?
The Republicans voted it down.
That's right.
Can't imagine why. All right, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Your calls, 877-520-1150. Stay with us.
Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was
welcome back.
Strong.
This is your Mike Malloy Show.
By the end of the
Brad Friedman of Bradblog.com in for Mike tonight. Our phone number is 877-520-1150. These are your public airwaves. Use them before you lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150. And use them wisely, by the way. Not like Rush Limbaugh. Use them wisely. 877-520-1150. All right, I'll get to your calls in a moment here. But I do want to point out that Citizens United, this from Rick Hassan, who's a great election legal guy. Citizens United has already doubled the amount of outside spending in presidential election years. This unfettered money, this is just insane. Let's see. As this chart shows, we've got a chart here. Spending by outside groups seeking to change the result of the 2012 presidential election is just under $90 million. Or more than double the amount of outside spending by this point in 2008. This is true despite the fact that there is only one contested primary in 2012, while both Democrats and Republicans had a hard-fought primary battle in 2008. As a possible sign of just how far Citizens United may go in injecting big money into the race, and I would add in perverting our democracy, outside spending in congressional election years grew nearly nine times between 2006 and 2010. So it was about $2 million in outside spending on congressional races in 2006 and about $15 million in 2010. In the presidential race, just under $40 million in 2008, with two different contested races, Republican and Democratic. So far this year, just under $90 million. That's the attempt to buy democracy in this country allowed by this horrific, horrific Citizens United decision. All right, let me get to the phones. 877-520-1150, whatever you'd like to talk about. Dave in Chicago, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
What's happening, Brad? I just want to say a quick thing about the XL pipeline. I will support an S small pipeline or an M medium pipeline, but an XL pipeline is way too big, won't fit properly, but it may shrink in the wash. I don't know.
Well, you know, there already is an XL. I mean, there already is a Keystone pipeline, small one, but that's not good enough. They need this tar sands pipeline, and they want to lie to you that it's going to lower your gas prices. And
I just heard about that pipeline, but I wanted to talk about Kucinich. Now, what was the deal with the pre-election polls and the post-polls? What happened there?
Oh, you know what? Good question. I don't think that they. I don't know what the pre-election polls were, and I'm trying to find. I had some. notes. Oh, we got to come to a break here. All right. Hang on, Dave. Let me get to your call after the break. Can you hang on through the break?
I'll listen for my answer. I just want to know about the pre and post polls.
All right. I'll tell you whatever I know after this break. Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the call. 877-520-1150. Tell you what I know and what I don't about the Kucinich race. 877-520-1150. Anything that is on your mind, now is your time to use your public airwaves. People, I'm telling you, you're not going to have these anymore. They're taking these away, too. They're slipping away. The fight continues here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150. Stay with us. Glad to have you here with us, Truth Seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Yes, I am your friendly citizen investigative blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow. Bringing it home here tonight, putting you to, I was going to say putting you to sleep, but that's not right. We don't want to say that. Putting you to bed. How's that? I don't know. Well, just wake up. Wake up, America. Brad in for Mike Malloy. He is hopefully in bed. He's was under the weather today. We hope he'll be back with you tomorrow. Until then, you've got me, and you've got your public airwaves if you want to get in at 877-520-1150. Whatever you'd like to talk about, anything we've been talking about tonight, this great hero, Tim Thompson, who's fighting back for your voting rights, the Marine in Tennessee. Any of that green news stuff with Dez and I? And I know Dave in Chicago had a question about Dennis Kucinich. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But 877-520-1150. You can also stop by our chat room where we are live during the show there. Always a lively group over there. And I've been so busy tonight, I haven't gotten to read too much of it. So my apologies, guys, but I will read it tonight. And for those of you who have been bad-mouthing me in the chat room, I will find you. I will hunt you down. And no, I won't do that. I'm also available on the Twitters at the Brad Blog. Okay? Okay. So let's see. What was the... Ah, yeah. Dave wanted to know about this whole Kucinich thing. And for those who aren't familiar with the story, they did away with a couple of congressional districts in Ohio this year. Following the census. And so what the Republicans did when they redistricted in Ohio was they combined two of the most progressive congressional districts, Marcy Kaptur's and Dennis Kucinich's. Both of them Democrats, both of them very progressive, certainly Dennis Kucinich, very progressive. So they combined the districts in hopes that one of them would lose in the primary. And in fact, of course, that's what has to happen. And Marcy Kaptur, she ended up reportedly winning this race. But if you look at the different, I think there's five counties total that made up this new ninth district in Ohio. And in Marcy Kaptur's district, previous Lucas County was, that's where Toledo is. And so that was her district. They love her there. She's been there a long time. So it's not unusual that she beat Dennis Kucinich in Toledo, Ohio. What's unusual, at least to me, was that she received 94.22% of the vote. Dennis Kucinich received 3.68%. So essentially, she won 94% to 4% over a sitting U.S. congressman. Now, I can understand if she was running against, somebody, a nobody, somebody they didn't hear of. As a matter of fact, there was a third guy in the race named Graham Vesey, I think is how you say his name. He received 2.1%. Okay. maybe that's understandable if you've never heard of him, but Dennis Kucinich has been in the U.S. Congress for years and years. So Marcy Kaptur in Lucas County received 22,269 votes. Dennis Kucinich received 870? Really? In Toledo, Ohio? Maybe. Maybe he did. The thing is, we can't know because they use 100% unverifiable touchscreen voting machines in Lucas County, Ohio. Ohio, a state which is likely, once again, to help determine the presidential election this year, they're still using this kind of unverifiable voting system around the entire state. So when somebody wins 94% to 4%, there's nothing you can do. Now, like I said, I expected Marcy Kaptur to win in Toledo. A few counties over in Cleveland, Ohio, which is Kucinich's district, Cuyahoga County. Cleveland, he won. He beat Kaptur. He beat her pretty well, too, 72.5% to 24%. That's kind of reasonable, I guess. 72 to 24. All right. Had Kaptur beaten Kucinich 72 to 24, I wouldn't have raised any questions here, really. But 94% to 4%? Do you buy that? Does that sound right to you? Sounds like Saddam Hussein results to me, but there's really nothing that we can do about it. We just have to accept these results. And I think this is an insane way to run a democracy. If you know, if you're out there, if you're in Ohio, if you have any ideas on this, if it makes sense to you, let me know. The thing is, it doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. I don't care. You know, you can come up with all kinds of explanations for it. In fact, apparently Kucinich in Cleveland ran some ads that people in Toledo took personally. Okay, well, that's fine. Maybe Marcy Kaptur did win 94% to 4% over Dennis Kucinich. I would just like to be able to see it. I would like to be able to know that he really did, or that she really did, that she really beat him. Is that too much to ask? I'm not sure what the polls were before. I don't think there was any exit polls on this race. And I haven't gotten to look at what the polls were, overall, I think the margins of the overall race may not have been that far out of whack. I've been trying to get in touch with Congressman Kucinich to ask him his opinions on this, and we haven't been able to talk yet. But I don't know. People say I'm crazy because I want to see if our votes are counted accurately. Seems like a pretty reasonable idea to me, but what do I know? 877-520-1150. I'll get to some of this other stuff later. Let's get to Kevin is calling from Colorado Springs. Cheer me up, Kevin. What's up? Welcome to Mike Malloy Show.
Well, I'll cheer you up somewhat. It was 75 or so in Colorado Springs today.
Oh, man.
So if you're a fan of summer weather in March, I guess that's cheery news.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is that there's a lot of people who are going, hey, this global warming thing is awesome. It's warm. It's 84 degrees in March. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, until it gets cold in the winter, like we've been doing here, we bypass spring and fall.
Yeah.
Like summer and winter are the two seasons we have now.
Well, we have these crazy extremes. We have these crazy, tornadoes early in the season, and within the last couple of weeks, two EF4s tornadoes, which are very rare, and all of a sudden, you know, we get two of them in one week. I think one in Indiana, one in Alabama. Dozens of people are killed, but everything's fine. Nothing to worry about. Enjoy the 75-degree weather in Colorado Springs, Kevin.
Yep. You just said something as you were coming to me.
Yeah.
Said there's nothing we can do about that in Ohio or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there is one thing we can do, and that's get out and protest and make as much noise and complaints as possible and let them know we're not going to stand for it. I don't care who the candidate is. if it's a 94-4 margin, I have questions, and I want to see some verifiable results. And if they're not verifiable, then I think I would be out in the streets protesting that just simply for the unverifiability of it.
Yep. I think so, too. And you're in Colorado, Colorado Springs. You've got a Secretary of State there, Paul Gessler, who is trying to undo even they're allowed to use these touchscreen machines all across Colorado, unfortunately, still, even though they did tests on them and the previous Secretary of State tried to get rid of all of them other than the Diebold ones for some reason. They put in security procedures in place in Colorado a couple of years ago because of this, because these are unverifiable voting machines. And now your current Secretary of State is trying to get rid of all of those security procedures. So you have the chance to put your money where your mouth is, Kevin, out there in Colorado. Yeah, go raise some holy hell in Colorado, please.
And the other thing I'm doing, Brad, is I'm working to get as many people registered as possible. I really don't care which party you are. If you're an American, you ought to be voting. And out here, Gessler has tried to make it where if you didn't vote in the midterms, you're considered inactive.
Right.
So you're not going to get a mail-in ballot. And people are expecting that mail-in ballot.
And they won't send it to them, and they just won't tell them that they're
exactly.
not going to send it until it's too late. Yeah, I know. He's horrible. He is horrible. Raise some hell out there in Colorado for me, Kevin.
We are.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate
it. Take care, Brad.
All right. Let me get to – do I have time for – yeah, let me get to Sean. Once again, Sean in St. Louis. Hey, brother, my hometown. Sean, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, how you doing today, Brian? I wanted to tell you
– yeah.
That I wanted to say something that the news wouldn't report. I'm a truck driver. I'm currently driving the truck. And I'm bounced back and forth across the country all the time. I hardly ever see home, me and my team driver.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on I-90, I-80, mm-hmm. I-70, I-40. And the last time I was on I-40 was last week, and I noticed something different. And when I saw this, I smelled a rat. So just a couple of days ago, I was on I-90, saw the same thing in South Dakota. Right along where they want to lay that Keystone pipeline, we saw stockpiles of pipe that wasn't there in the past few months. It hasn't been there. It just appeared there because we're across the country so much. You know, we have our own landmarks of where we are. And I noticed this huge stockpile on the west side of Oklahoma City. I believe it was like mile marker 128 on I-40. And I'm seeing flatbeds hauling these pipes. It's the same type of pipe that they use in the Alaska pipeline.
Right. Well,
that tells me that they're going to do this pipeline regardless.
Interesting. Good to know, Sean. And I'd love to hear from other callers out there if they're seeing the same thing. There is already a pipeline that I believe there's a Keystone pipeline, not the Keystone XL, but there's a Keystone pipeline that terminates currently in Oklahoma. And that's one of the reasons I think they want to build the XL pipeline so they can go all the way down to the Gulf. It's interesting that they've got pipes there already. I hadn't heard that. If anybody has any idea what those are really for, I'd love to know. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for the observation. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. Drive safely. Are you in St. Louis?
Not yet. I'm heading to South Carolina.
Okay.
Like I said, I saw another stockpile in South Dakota on 90.
Okay. All right. Well, if anybody else has seen it or can explain it, I'd love to know why. Thanks, Sean. I appreciate the call, sir.
Sure. You have a good day.
All right. You too. Okay. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back to more of your calls. 877-520-1150. We've got a few lines open. Don't wait till the end. Everybody always does that. And then I have to do the old bums rush thing where I give you 5 seconds on the air and that's it. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us. And even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Well, I've been down so goddamn long, Tony enjoys working on the Mike Malloy show is so he can play that song. Just a little.
Yeah, I know.
Welcome back. It is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. Going to your calls in a second, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. I started this show talking about the GOP war on everything. And, of course, I mean it, because the Violence Against Women Act is now up for reauthorization this year. And for the first time since its original passage, it's facing pushback from Republicans. Yes. Female senators are not happy about the sudden resistance to a usually uncontroversial bill. A few new provisions in the Violence Against Women Act have been added that add protections for undocumented people, the LGBT community, and Indian reservations, which have prompted a change of heart from anti-immigrant Republicans like Jeff Sessions. He said, there are matters put on that bill that almost seem to invite opposition. So I guess adding undocumented people, making a note that they're covered as well, this is an outrage. Because if you're an illegal immigrant in this country and a woman, I say violence against you is just fine. No, we won't protect you. Sorry, you're an illegal alien. You deserve to get beaten. I wish I was kidding. And I wish I could tell you how it is that Republicans think they can get away with behaving this year in an election year, attacking women like this. This war on women, and they think they're going to win. Well, I can't tell you how, because they're gaming the system. They're keeping you from voting. Hundreds of thousands of legal American voters are going to be shocked this year to find that they can't vote. And by the way, a lot of them are going to be Republican. And they're going to be pretty ticked off when they find that they can't vote either. All right, very quickly, let's get to Tim in Detroit, and then I got to get to a break and more of your calls. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's up, brother?
Hi, Brad. I think my history is correct on this. I think in Ohio, before the president and Republican governor, wasn't Ted Strickland the Democratic governor of Ohio?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, and I think under him, and I think she sort of made the news for a while, I think the Secretary of State's name was Jennifer Brunner.
That's correct.
And she had gone on a number of progressive talk shows, actually.
Yes.
She had talked about water protection and actually helping to reform the voting system in Ohio.
Correct.
And I was always wondering whatever happened to that.
Well, actually, she warned all of the counties out there that they should get rid of their touchscreen voting machines, since she found that they can be so easily manipulated and that they fail so often. But she doesn't have, apparently, the statutory power to tell them they must get rid of those touchscreen voting machines.
That's a shame.
It sure is. She tried, and, well, more after this. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
Walking down the road with the pistol in your waist.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell, and I've got 25 minutes to go, and the whole town's waiting just to hear me yell. I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beans for my last meal.
Yeehaw,
23
we're back.
Minutes to go.
I love that. The Keystone Pipe. Desi sends me a note here to say the Keystone, the number one pipeline, not the XL pipeline, it has already had 12 spills in the first year of its operation. So maybe that's the pipes that we're seeing. Brad, in for Mike Malloy here, our last half hour. So now's your time to get in if you want to use your public airwaves. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150, and try to use them for good instead of evil. Let me go to Jim, who may have some information on this pipeline. He's also a trucker. We had a trucker in the last segment who said he saw some pipes curiously By the roadside down in Oklahoma and up in North Dakota, I think he said. Jim may have some information on that. Calling from Georgia, also a trucker. Hey, Jim, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Do I have Jim? Oh, there we go. Jim,
yeah, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you now fine. Yeah, what's up, Jim?
Sounds like a commercial.
Yeah.
Hey, two weeks ago, this lady called from North Dakota and was talking about the pipeline. And the Dakota Indian tribe was arrested because they were laying the pipes for the XL pipeline. They already started on it, and they just can't run any oil through it yet. And there was a citizen's arrest on the tribe, and they said that they had the jurisdiction of the U.S. government.
And they're doing this in Native American land? Are they doing
Yes, they're cutting through the tribe's property.
And are they only doing this on Native American lands because they feel they can get away with it there? Are they doing it everywhere?
The lady said that they can cut through to the Dakotas, and then once they get to the end of the Dakotas, they have to stop. But, you know, they could run that pipeline all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico and not run any oil in it. This thing could be assembled and waiting for them to okay it.
Wow. I don't think I had realized that.
Well,
wow.
It only has to be okayed to carry oil.
I see. Okay, good to know, Jim. I appreciate that call. Thank you, brother. Drive safe out there. Hey, Des, if you know anything additionally about that, if you can confirm that they can go ahead and build this thing, they just can't turn it on. I believe him. I just hadn't heard that. That's okay. Let me go to Ted in Chicago. Hey, Ted, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman. How can I serve you?
Hey, Brad, great show. Appreciate the coverage on Tim Thompson, Great American,
yeah.
And the coverage on Dennis Kucinich. That was interesting. I was wondering tonight what you thought about some claims being made by Ron Paul supporters of election fraud going on in the Republican primaries. States like Georgia, Maine, Iowa, and all that.
Well, here's what I will tell you, and God love the Ron Paul supporters, and I love the fact that they're overseeing their elections like nobody else, no other candidates are. They're you know, trying desperately to, you know, make sure they're actually counted and counted accurately. In the entire, what are we on, like 9-year history of bradblog.com, I have never actually, counter to what many people think about me, I've never actually called an election stolen outright until I saw what happened in Maine in the GOP caucus up there when you had Charlie Webster, the Republican Party chair, who just came out and blatantly, literally just stole it. For Mitt Romney, knowing he came out and he said, Mitt Romney is the winner by 194 votes, knowing that there was two entire counties that hadn't even cast their votes yet. They weren't going to do it for another week. So he was blatant about it. It was unbelievable that the fact that the people of Maine stood for this, whether the Republicans or Democrats or anybody else, to just come out and blatantly steal an election the way Charlie Webster did, that was outrageous. That said, there are concerns always about elections elsewhere. And the Ron Paul people, as I said, God love them for trying to oversee the election. They are too quick, too often, in my opinion, to shout fraud. It's one thing to have concerns about an election. It's another thing to come out and say, you know, it's fraud. They've stolen the election. So, because the problem is when you do that, you know, you begin to cry wolf. If you don't have any evidence, it's not enough to say, oh, this stinks to me. It smells bad to me. So it must be fraud. You know, you need to say, yes, it stinks. It smells bad. What happened here? There are things you can do. You can make public records requests. You can try to oversee your own elections. But when you come out and shout fraud at every turn, the way I, you know, constantly hear from too many folks, too many Ron Paul folks, then it becomes a problem. Does that how is that for an answer, Ted?
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm glad you're following it and on the story. I think you're the best in the business when it comes to election integrity. So I was wondering what your take was. And I know since he's like the only anti-war candidate running for president that he's been having a hard time, hard go of it. But I'm just glad people are watching, and I agree with his supporters are some of the most active. And
yeah, they are. And that's why I don't want to disparage them, because I really am glad that they're out there paying attention. You know, and it was a Ron Paul supporter, in fact, up in Iowa when the GOP had said that Mitt Romney had won by was four votes on election night. It was, in fact, a Ron Paul supporter who stepped forward and said, no, I was at one of the caucuses. And, you know, I know for a fact that Mitt Romney didn't get 22 votes at my caucus, the way it says on the GOP website. He got two. And other people, not 22, but two. And other people were able to step forward and say, yeah, that's true. I was there. It was 22. It was two, not 22, because we were able to oversee the votes. So, you know, in that case, and of course, we found out that Rick Santorum ended up winning. So I'm really glad for what they do. I wish they weren't out there yelling fraud all the time. Alex Jones does this all the time. Oh, they're stealing it, blatantly stealing it. You know, if you got evidence, that's one thing. If you're speculating, that's another. And that's my concern. So thanks,
all right,
Ted.
Take care, Brad. Appreciate it.
All right. I appreciate the call. Let's go to 877-520-1150. A few lines open. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Roger in Los Angeles. Hey, Roger. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, thank you, Brad. I want to talk about this. Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to talk about the evangelist because I was, you know, the last week there was these elections in Alabama, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And some of them were interviewed. They won't vote for Barack Obama because he's a Muslim. So they hate the Muslims like anything, but they're crazy about their gods. And then the more crazy.
Well, hang on, Roger, let's just be clear. They won't vote for him because they think he's a Muslim, not because he is a Muslim.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, some say he's a Muslim.
What?
They don't even say, I think. They say he's a Muslim.
Oh, right. They think. Yeah. They believe it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then they're crazy about their gods, and they are even crazier about oil. They want oil. But then they don't realize the gods they worship has given all the oil to all the Muslim countries.
So,
if you go to Middle East, it's from Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, UAE, Dubai, all Muslim countries, Libya, everybody. And also the one country they love in the Middle East is Israel.
Right.
To which God didn't give even a drop
Didn't
of
give
oil.
Them any oil. Actually, actually that's not true.
Their God is working like that for them.
Well, just for accuracy, I should add, there was a major fine this week off the coast of Tel Aviv. Apparently, some 250 million gallons of oil have been found off Tel Aviv. So, clearly God loves the Muslim countries, but he likes Israel too, apparently, at least 250 million gallons worth. Thanks, Roger. I appreciate the call. All right. Let me get to, we've got a Keystone answer from Virginia in Omaha. Excellent. Virginia, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's the answer to this Keystone pipeline mystery?
Okay. It was reported in our paper last week that TransCanada is going to start the pipeline from Cushing, Oklahoma, down to the Gulf.
And do they have permission to do this?
Evidently, I don't know. According to the paper, it just said that that's what they were going to do. It didn't say, you know, because there's a controversy here. They can't go through Nebraska at this time because of the Ogallala Aquifer.
Well, that's right. And as a matter of fact, let's be clear, because this does not get made clear on the airwaves most of the time. It was Republicans in Nebraska who objected to the pipeline up there. And it was, in
correct.
Fact, so let's correct. Be clear. So TransCanada, maybe they got the okay from the state of Oklahoma to say that, you know, to go ahead and build the pipeline here in the state. Maybe they got the okay there. But they can't turn it on yet, right?
No, unless they're going to turn it on in North Dakota or in Canada and end in North Dakota and then just let it sit until it gets to... Eventually, they have TransCanada has agreed to reroute it through Nebraska.
Okay,
they have to do a study, but they have to do a study for it.
Okay, well that's right, and you know what? I hope that they put a lot of Americans to work building this pipeline, and that's good. And then I hope they never turn it on, and TransCanada has lost all its money for doing that.
Right.
All right. Thanks, Virginia. I really do appreciate that. Good to get an answer to that. So they're going to go ahead and build it anyway. Yeah, but they just can't turn it on. Hope that works out for them. Charlie in Wyoming, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Charlie, what's up? Another trucker.
Yes, I'm just wondering how...
Oh, Charlie, we can't hear you. Try again. Talk a little closer to the phone there.
Okay, I was just wondering how they can put a pipeline, a corporation can put a pipeline across the sovereign nation.
Well, apparently, either they can't. Now, I've got a note here from Des who says that, Des, maybe you can come in and explain this to us. Let's see, North Dakota Native Americans protest a correction. It was South Dakota. And it was, do you have the information on this? Here she comes. Yeah.
It was a caller, Nora, from Minneapolis, okay. And she called in to correct, and I remembered this now, that it's the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota.
Okay.
And what they were doing was they were protesting all of these trucks that have been going across their land. And these trucks, of course, you know, they're heavy, heavy, heavy trucks, and they're carrying tar sands oil.
Right. Are they allowed to do that, though?
Are they allowed to...
They can carry the tar sands oil in the trucks if they want.
Oh, sure, they are. But you have to get permission to use these, I guess, if I understand it correctly, you have to get permission to carry this particular kind of truck because it's incredibly destructive to the road.
Really?
And
because
the
tar sand stuff is so heavy?
No, just
heavy?
Because the trucks are so heavy, they actually wear out the road faster. And so she's basically was saying that, you know, that they were protesting these trucks and the federal government, I believe, was on the Native American Indian side because you have to get a permit to ship through their reservation.
Oh, okay. Charlie, does that answer your question, Charlie?
That answer. Then I want to point out one other thing that Democrats are kind of missing a point.
What's that?
We never hear about Ronald Reagan bailing out Chrysler and the Lee Iacocca.
Oh, right. Well, look, the Democrats are missing a lot of points. But the fact is, it's not the Democrats who own the media. It's the corporations. It's the right-wingers. It's Fox News. It's Rush Limbaugh and his lying lies that go on 24/7 across our public airwaves. And you should be as outraged about it as I. Thanks, Charlie. I got to get to a break. I do appreciate your call. Drive safe out there in Wyoming. Yeah, I get kind of ticked off when people like Rush lie over our public airwaves. I will never do that with you. Brad, in from Malloy.
Because we find ourselves in the same old mess. Singing drunken love.
People say I'm crazy.
Yeah, they do.
Doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Well, they give me all kinds of warnings.
My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino.
To save me from ruin.
Who heard all the truckers calling in, so he thought we should close with watching the wheels go round and round. Also, producer Desi Doyen, associate producer Margot Paez. All the cats in the chat room, both chatting and moderating, including For Earth. Is Jeannie Dean in there today? My computer's froze up long ago. I can't even check. For Earth, Jeannie Dean and Dale. And, of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy, who will hopefully be back with you tomorrow. Mike's under the weather. We hope he's back, because I can't come back tomorrow. They won't let me in the studio here. They're outfitting Stephanie Miller for the TVs, and I'm not welcome. I do have to figure out where to put all of the bradblog.com bumper stickers. So when you watch her on the current, watch for those. They'll be all over the place. My thanks to Tim Thompson for joining us, my guest from Tennessee. Great hero down there fighting for your voting rights. Okay, let me get to as many folks as I can in our remaining minutes here. Michael from Nolens, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Michael, what's up?
Hey, Brad, I just wanted to say I'm a longtime Blurtcaster, first-time caller.
All right.
And I wanted to thank you for the – I don't know if he's been a regular call on your show, but when you had John Fugelsang the very first time.
Yeah. We haven't had him in a while. We need to have him back.
He has, and your confluence of – ideas, him from the Catholic viewpoint, yours from the
non-Catholic viewpoint.
That's what I would say. You had a secular viewpoint.
Yeah.
It really actually had me choked up.
Really?
Because it was so me.
You're John Fugelsang's agent, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not.
Okay.
I mean, it might just as well be Brad Friedman's agent, because you're the best.
Oh, you're very kind. Oh, Michael, I'm actually I think we're back for the first week of August. April. We're back for the first week of April. I think we're in all week for him. What? Not the first day, not Monday. We couldn't get a studio. But Tuesday through Friday, the first week of April, we'll be back, and we need to bring John Fugelsang on again. I just did a show with him over at the Young Turks last week, and apparently I caused a lot of problems for him. So we'll bring him on. And
too bad. How could you cause trouble for somebody as nice and sweet as he is?
Well, I know it wasn't for him. It was more for the Young Turks, because you have to go over there. Go to Brad Blog. We got the video up there, and you can see what all the controversy is about.
Well, I'm going to be voting in the Louisiana primary on Saturday.
Oh.
I don't know if it's this coming Saturday.
All right. Good luck.
I got a robocall today from guess whose wife. That red meat Catholic? What's his name?
Santorum. Rick Santorum.
His wife.
His wife called. Okay.
Gosh, what a good thing my answering machine took it.
All right.
Anyway.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you
for Ron Paul.
Oh, okay. Go get him. Go fight for your vote and make sure they count it properly, Michael, if you can.
Yeah, and thank God we have our primaries on Saturday in Louisiana, so the working people can. All our state elections are on Saturdays, Tuesdays.
All right. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for checking in, and let me see if I can get to as many people very quickly in the minute left. Alan in St. Paul. What's up, Alan?
Regarding Keystone.
Yes.
Two things. One, the Native Americans, the indigenous people in Canada, it's destroying their land. Huge amounts of water are necessary to get the oil out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking all the aquifer and all the agricultural system of the natives. The reason they went through Pine Ridge in South Dakota was to avoid paying the overloaded trucks $55,000 penalty for each truck. I heard this on a Native American Indian program here out of Minneapolis.
The trucks were overloaded, so if they went through Native American lands,
they were overloaded, and they would have been charged a penalty by the South Dakota Highway Department.
Right.
$55,000 for each truck.
Right.
Therefore, they trespassed over the Native American, the Pine Ridge Indian land, because they didn't have to pay anything.
Well, that's these good corporate citizens. I guess that's TransCanada.
So when they stopped the trucks, the South Dakota police from the highway department came out and arrested the Indians.
Oh, of course they did. Thanks, Alan. Hey, America, keep it lit. Brad Friedman, we'll see you at bradblog.com.